Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Escaping Moral Adventure. We are inside recording today, which we usually are, but it's gorgeous outside. So I wish we could do this outside, but there'd be too many birds chirping and all of that in the background. But anyway, we are here to discuss messing up when we mess up.
Do you ever mess up?
I was going to ask you that. You just snuck right in there. What that question? Okay, I do. I do mess up.
You can think of a time or two? Okay, I'll record it in case I need that for some other future time to remind you.
That I mess up.
And that would maybe be me messing up then, so if I did that.
True.
But yes, talking about messing up. Wow, this is tough.
Let's start talking about it.
Okay, well, what do you want to talk about with messing up?
Well,
should we just stop messing up?
Yeah. No. No, messing up actually can be good. It can be helpful, depending on what you do with it, right? So we'll kind of talk about some choices we have for how to handle mess ups.
So you're saying we're going to mess up?
Yeah, because we're not Jesus.
Okay. So since we're going to do it, maybe we should talk about what happens next.
Okay.
Does that sound good?
Okay. So there's a few choices we have for how to handle mess ups. And as we were preparing for this episode, Mark, you and I were kind of thinking about what are some responses we can have to messing up. And one of those was one choice we have for how to handle a mess up is to pass the blame.
I guess that means blaming somebody else for our mess up.
Right. And then we'll elaborate on all these in a little bit. But another thing you can do, or a way to handle a mess up, is to justify it. So justify the mess up, which I think of that as just making excuses.
Really. Yeah, just simply making an excuse for why you messed up, or, yeah, I would say rationalizing it.
Yes, yeah.
It wasn't that bad because of this, or... yeah, it may have looked like a mess up, but actually, here's a reason why it's okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then another way to handle mess ups would be to own our mistake or own our mess up.
Own it?
Mm-hmm. Take responsibility.
That probably doesn't feel so good in the moment, though. It probably feels a little bit better to do pass the blame or justify. That way we're not admitting, I think. This last one, if you want to own it, you got to admit it.
Mm-hmm. That could take a hit to your pride, your ego.
A little bit of a hit,
right?
For sure.
Yeah.
So when we were preparing for this, what became obvious to me is, what do we see if we look around us when it comes to how people respond to mess ups? And I can think of a lot of number one and two. So passing the blame and justifying. And especially like right now, when you look at just the political landscape, so every time you turn on the news, there's something political happening, and almost every political leader, it seems, uses the pass the blame or the justification form of owning it. I mean, when's the last time you turned on the news and saw some leader, political leader, actually own up and say, hey, this is on me, I messed up. I'm taking ownership, and here's how I'm going to respond to that. I don't know. Have you ever noticed that lately?
No, I have not.
So the latest, for example, the latest thing in the news that we see is this situation with Afghanistan, which is very challenging from a lot of different reasons for what happened. So when the troops were pulled out, and then we had this takeover basically of the entire country by the Taliban, it's a mess, a total mess. Mm. And what we see from the political landscape is a lot of blaming each other or justifying. We see actually both of that happening right now. Mm-hmm. We see virtually no one saying, I'm going to own this, and it's time to own it, step up, and take responsibility. So we're actually getting, this is kind of the scary part, we're sort of getting trained, and our children are getting trained that what you do is pass blame, or justify when you make a mistake.
Yeah.
And clearly there's many mistakes that we make, and like I said, that we're seeing all over in our, just in our culture today. So I see that, I think I see that a lot. I don't see a lot of the third one, which is about owning it though.
Yeah. Let's spend some time on that third one. I think, you know, passing the blame and justifying, you kind of gave an example of that, talked about that a little bit. And those obviously aren't the healthy ways of handling mistakes we make or handling situations where we messed up. So let's spend time kind of diving into that third option, which is owning it, right? Taking responsibility for that mess up, that mistake, and what that might look like, or just some pieces of that.
And I said earlier that owning it requires you to admit, right? That's a little bit of the problem with owning a mistake, is that it requires you to admit. And you had a story about how you've had to admit and apologize, even, maybe apology is a better word, to apologize even with our kids.
Right. And I think I've shared stories like this on the show before, but with our oldest, we were actually talking about, what were we talking about? It was in the car, and I think we were doing a devotion or something. I can't remember the exact context, but I was given an example. Like, yes, when I, if I get frustrated and yell, then I have to apologize and say, I'm sorry I did that. I messed up. I shouldn't have done that. And then I also have to pray and ask God for forgiveness of that. And we went, you know, I was just going on to say, and then God forgives me of that and all that. And then she said after that, she's like, Mom, I really like it when you apologize. And I just had the biggest smile on my face. And then the conversation shifted. She said no more about that. But I'm just like, wow, apologizing, it does something for that other person. You know, it strikes a chord in a good way with that other person. Or it has the ability to do that, right? Everybody's not going to respond the same. But and if your apology is not sincere, then that's another whole other topic. But I just thought that was fascinating. She likes it when I apologize, when I admit that I messed up.
Yeah. And I've seen this exact same thing with our kids, especially our oldest. Just because she's our oldest, we tend to have like these arguments that are more, I don't know, complicated, let's say, than our youngest, right? But anyway, what I notice with her is if I have yelled or something, and then when I go back and I apologize, I can just see the wall coming down from her, right? And so she likes it, and she's learning about apologizing. So yeah, I have that same experience, I would say. So that's a good one.
So this with owning our mistake, right? You were saying, okay, so that means we admit that we messed up. We're saying, you know, there's at least part of the mess up that was on us, that was our fault, whether that's 90% of it, 10% of it, 99% of it, 1% of it, 100% of it. You know, you're saying that, hey, there was part of this that I could have done differently, that I messed up, that I should have changed. And so I think in that you're also acknowledging I could have done something differently to avoid that mistake. So let's learn from that, I guess, is kind of where you could go from there. So you acknowledge that you did something wrong, and then you take that and actually use it to move towards learning from that and making a change for the future.
To come back to our example with our kids, right? Let's say one that's simple is they're disobeying. You end up yelling because you're trying to get something done. Maybe you're short on time. You're just trying to get something done. You end up yelling. If you decide that you're going to take ownership of that and come back and apologize, it gives you this sense to say, okay, I don't want to do that anymore. It was clearly a mistake, but how do I fix that? Like, because yeah, I was mad. You weren't obeying, but that's going to happen. So how do I fix that next time? Maybe I need to introduce something into the pattern. And whenever I notice myself ready to want to yell or scream, I got to take that deep breath. I got to decide, okay, what's actually happening here? Is my kid hungry, angry, tired? Is there something else going on in the system that I need to address? Was I rushing because I wasn't prepared? So I was, instead of being on time, I could have been more on time by starting earlier, giving earlier warning that we were going to be leaving or that we needed to get ready. So you start getting in this mindset of how do I avoid that problem going forward? Whereas if you just say, oh, it was all her fault, it was all of our kids' fault, they just didn't listen. That was the only thing. Just next time, listen. Then you're not going to be prone to want to learn. You're not. You're gonna not learn, and you're gonna just say it's their fault. They need to change, not me.
Right. That's passing the blame. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Mark, do you have any examples, either general or however specific you want to be, about like seeing this in the workplace, taking responsibility for mistakes versus passing the blame or justifying? Or did you want to talk about that later? Or?
No, that's okay. We can do it now. I think the key... So yes, I have examples. And in fact, one of the things you have to watch out for in the workplace that I notice is you can inadvertently create an environment where people try to hide mistakes because they think mistakes are bad. So if you punish people for mistakes in the workplace, then what actually you're teaching them is they should hide mistakes when they happen. They shouldn't talk about them. Mm. They should try to cover over them or pass the buck. And you may think you're doing a good thing. You may actually be saying, oh, well, I don't want to have mistakes in my workplace, right? So maybe this is a good thing. Turns out that's actually a really bad thing. You want to move from an environment in the workplace, and this is something we try to do in our workplace. You want to move from a workplace that where it's unacceptable to make mistakes. You want to go from that to it's unacceptable to not learn from mistakes. Mm. And that's it's sort of a subtle shift. But when someone makes a mistake, the best thing to do is talk about that openly and then talk about how to durably fix it and then celebrate how you've now built that into the system. So a good example is, let's say someone made a mistake that led to an issue happening. And you find out by talking about what happened is it turned out the policy that they were following wasn't clear. They didn't know what the policy was. Like, so they just tried something and then it led to some problem. If you learn from that mistake, you'll say, oh, we got to go fix the policy. Mm. If you hide the mistake, you'll never talk about it. You'll try to pass blame, and then the policy stays there. You make the mistake again.
Yeah.
So in the workplace, that's how it ends up turning out a lot of the time. And you have to be really careful, especially if you're in some sort of leadership position, that you're not inadvertently creating an environment where people are hiding mistakes. Yeah. Because then you start passing the blame or justifying what happened, hiding, and those are...
Yeah, and then there's no growth taking place in the right direction, right? It's exactly. Just repeating the same mistakes over and over again. I mean, you also talk with our girls about mistakes and how they're actually good and you can learn from them. And then I hear our oldest repeating it to our youngest, you know, just unprompted about mistakes are actually good, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's neat too.
Yeah, this is kind of coming to mind, and maybe you'll want to say a word on it, but there's this... phenomenon, I don't know the right word, called fundamental attribution error.
Oh, and it's just a concept, yeah.
It's this idea that we tend to downplay our own, tell me if I get this right, we tend to downplay, when something goes wrong, we downplay our own contribution to it going wrong. And when something goes right, we tend to overplay our own contribution for it going right. And so this is a well-studied idea in psychology that this is built into us as humans. Mm-hmm. If something goes wrong, we tend to like think it's mostly not on us. And if something goes right, we tend to think it's mostly on us. So mm-hmm. It's that, I think, works against us. That's why you hear me talking to our girls about this, is because you have to fight this. And I notice whenever she makes a mistake, it's like, oh, it hurts, you know? So I try to tell her these are good things. And now it's great because I can give her examples. Mm-hmm. And so she fell on her bike and then wanted to stop, you know, writing and was upset. And I said, hey, we're going to push through this. We're going to keep going. It was really hard for her. Did not want to do it at all. And then ended up writing and had like an achievement that she hadn't done before. So it was really cool. So yeah. Now I can use these examples every time if mistakes are made. So I think it's important.
You know, as we were kind of developing this episode, I was thinking about taking ownership and what all is involved in that. And the one word that came to my mind was integrity. And I think taking ownership is part of, or a piece of, having integrity. Mm-hmm. And as we were talking about this, you said, yeah, I would agree, because it's a lie when you don't own your mistakes. If you're trying to, you know, pass the blame or justify them in some way, you're actually lying about the cause of that mistake or your part in that mistake. And so I thought that was really good. And so integrity, I just looked up some definitions of it. And one said, having integrity means doing the right thing in a reliable way. And then...
Well, that goes perfectly then, the right thing in a reliable way. I mean, think about it. If you are passing blame or justifying, it's not the right way. And we know it.
Yes.
You especially know it if you see someone else do it. This is the best way to think about this. Think about when you notice someone else has tried to pass blame and you've watched it happen or tried to justify when you know they've got some ownership to take and how that makes you feel about their integrity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very true. And then so integrity literally means having wholeness of character. And then it said, just as an integer is a whole number, I really liked this, with no fractions, physical objects can display integrity too. So if you're going over a rickety old bridge that sways in the wind, you might question its structural integrity. And I thought that was a really good picture. You know, do you want to be thought of as this person with rickety morals, or, you know what I mean, unreliable, this person who's kind of like shaky a little bit and you don't know if you can trust them or not, or if they're going to do the right thing or not. Mm-hmm. So I liked that picture there. And then what I've always heard integrity as being is, you know, doing the right thing even when no one is watching.
Yep.
Anyway, I think this taking ownership and integrity go hand in hand.
Well, I'd have to come back to one of the things you said. Imagine going over a rickety old bridge that sways in the wind. When you read that part, you were probably thinking, I'm not going over any rickety old bridge that sways in the wind.
That's true.
Okay. So, good. So, integrity goes hand in hand here with this concept of really taking ownership for mistakes.
Yeah. And, you know, we see in scripture, there are so many proverbs that talk about integrity. I will list these in the notes, but let me just read three or four proverbs here. It says, whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his ways crooked will be found out, right? Walking securely. It makes me think of that old, rickety old bridge, right? The opposite of integrity. Better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than a rich man who is crooked in his ways. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. The righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. So this is talking about your own integrity then being a blessing, right, to your children, them being blessed because of your integrity. And then the last one I'll share is Psalm 84:11. It says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. He withholds no good thing from those who walk with integrity. And I like that. He withholds no good thing from those who walk with integrity.
Mm. I don't want good things withheld.
Right. I want to be walking with integrity.
Okay. So that's integrity. And I also think this is very tied in with loving each other. So this idea of owning our mistakes is definitely tied in with integrity. Is it tied in with loving? And as I was thinking about this, again, I thought, well, how did I feel about when people that I knew, so just imagine a scenario, you probably have one, that someone passed the blame or tried to justify a mistake and it negatively impacted you. So it was something they did that negatively impacted you. And then you watched them pass the blame or justify. How did you feel about them doing that? Did you feel like they were loving you? Did you feel like they were being kind? Did you feel like they were being good to you? Or did you feel something else? Did you feel that they were not being kind, that they were not loving you, that in fact you lost some trust? Of course, you questioned their integrity, like we just mentioned, mm-hmm. but you also were not feeling loved, I'm guessing, right? This is how, these are my experiences with this. Mm-hmm. So I think this probably carries forward. And so if you think about 1 Corinthians 13, which we talked about before, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. Those are action-oriented. And so this idea of how you handle mistakes also being action-oriented, owning these mistakes, and then admitting and striving to rebuild trust, for example, when it deals with these other people, is highly aligned with loving one another. But if you justify or pass blame, it's completely contrary mm-hmm. to loving one another.
Well, and then if you go on in that scripture, and it says it does not dishonor others.
Yes.
Right? Passing the blame or justifying versus owning your mistakes, that would be dishonoring others. It is not self-seeking. When we don't own our mistakes, I feel like oftentimes our motivation is selfishness, right? Or self-seeking, if we're choosing not to own that. Okay, so just to briefly summarize, we shared with you three ways that people may handle mistakes or handle messing up. Number one was pass the blame. Number two was justify the mistake. And number three was own the mistake. Take responsibility for that. And clearly, numbers one and two are not the best route to go, and number three is the best route to go.
Yep. So I think it's helpful to think about these three next time you experience messing up. And remember, how can you own it? How can you own the situation? And again, to your point earlier, Fallon, it could be that you don't have to own 100%. That's not the point. The point is, what could you do? How can I own this? How can I make it better for next time? And then I can learn from this mistake.
Right. So if you found any of this helpful, please share this episode with others. Like our page, subscribe to our podcast, all of that good stuff. We would greatly appreciate it.
We'll see you next time.
We'll see you next time.